Welcome to Falun Gong News, direct from China and around the world, from the Minghui website. This week's top stories include Hong Kong, Falun Dafa rally and march held on New Year's Day. Slovakian lawmakers, media, concerned about forced organ harvesting in China. A letter of thanks to the Finnish government. Minghui report, 25 more lives lost in persecution of Falun Gong in second half of 2017, bringing total for year to 42. Australian senator urges Chian Mayer to release imprisoned Falun Gong practitioners. And South Korea, newcomers share their feelings at Falun Gong workshop in Seoul. Now for the stories.
Hong Kong. Falun Dafa rally and march held on New Year's Day. Falun Dafa practitioners in Hong Kong gathered at Edinburgh Place on New Year's Day 2018. After a performance by the group's Xiang Guo marching band, they took group photos to wish the founder of the practice, Mr. Li Hongzhi, a Happy New Year. A rally and march were then held to raise awareness about the practice and the ongoing persecution of its practitioners in China. Mr. Kan Hung Cheung, a spokesman for the Hong Kong Falun Dafa Association, said at the rally that the practitioners wanted to wish Master Li a Happy New Year and at the same time tell the world about the benefits of the practice. We believe that the values of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance may one day bring world peace, he said. He further talked about the Chinese Communist Party's attack on traditional values, calling for an immediate end to the persecution of Falun Dafa in China. For two men from northern China, this rally was their first live encounter with Falun Dafa. Both of them knew that the communist regime was vicious and had instigated members of a pro-communist group in Hong Kong to sabotage Falun Dafa's events. During this event, they both agreed to quit the Young Pioneers of China, a group associated with the Chinese Communist Party. A mother and son from Shenzhen saw the parade and said, "In China, you would never see anything like this. If you heard anything, it would be the CCP's propaganda of defaming Falun Dafa." A practitioner who had come to the event from Guangzhou was excited to actually take part in a public Falun Dafa activity. She was in tears, saying, "We are not allowed to do this in Guangzhou. For many years, we've wanted to freely express our gratitude to Master. The practice has given her good health," she said. "I feel peaceful in everything I do, and I have become more considerate," she said. Another practitioner at the rally, Zhen, was once incarcerated and tortured in China because of her belief in Falun Dafa. She was glad to be able to share her personal story and help more people understand the severity of the persecution in China. Ping, a practitioner from mainland China who has lived in Hong Kong for 3 years, said, "It's very free here. I get to tell people what Falun Dafa is and what the CCP is and why the CC persecutes Falun Dafa practitioners." As the Falun Dafa march on New Year's Day passed through the busy streets and areas of downtown Hong Kong, many spectators happily took information and photographed the parade.
Slovakian lawmakers, media, concerned about forced organ harvesting in China. 39 National Council members of Slovakia jointly sent an open letter to Beijing on December 7th, expressing their concern about the state-sanctioned killing of Falun Gong practitioners for their organs in China. The letter told Chinese leaders that if China wants respect from the international community, the nation should respect human lives. The lawmakers also urged the Chinese president to stop the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners and bring the perpetrators to justice, including former Communist Party leader Jiang Zemin, who launched and personally directed the persecution. On the same day, the documentary A Decade of Investigation was screened at the Parliament building. In the audience were 11 National Council members and 5 staff members. The viewers were shocked by the facts presented in the documentary. They said more people should know about it and offered to help spread the message. 9 lawmakers signed the letter to the Chinese president. They also posted the information on their social media pages. At a previous meeting with Falun Gong practitioners, two National Council members condemned the persecution of Falun Gong. They both said they believed that the international community should take action to help protect human rights, as it is the responsibility of those living in free countries. The largest TV station in Slovakia, RTVS, interviewed the organizers of a local human body exhibition on November 20th as part of its weekly investigative program, which has a viewership of 60,000. The 15-minute-long program also covered the state-sanctioned organ harvesting crimes in China and its investigation by the World Organization to investigate the persecution of Falun Gong. The coverage has drawn widespread public attention. In 2013, the European Parliament passed a resolution condemning forced organ harvesting in China.
A letter of thanks to the Finnish government. The followers are excerpts from a letter written by a practitioner whose wife was imprisoned in China for her faith. To Finnish government officials, the holidays are a time for gatherings and family reunions. For years, I have dreamed of having a reunion with my family. 6 years ago, before Christmas, I received a special gift from the Finnish government. My wife was granted a visa to join me in Finland. My name is Wu Zhiping, and my wife is Zhu Woxin. She spent years in a Chinese prison for practicing Falun Gong. After 11 years of separation, my wife finally came back to me, thanks to the Finnish government's help. After years of incarceration, torture, and abuse, she was released in October 2009. However, she did not have real freedom. When my wife received a letter from the Finnish Immigration Service inviting her to apply for a visa at the Finnish consulate in Guangzhou in March 2010, I felt ambivalent. While happy for the hope of a reunion, I was also anxious about her safety. We did not know how she could leave China. She was under tight police surveillance and harassment, which became a way of life for her. Despite her efforts, my wife could not make it to the Finnish consulate for her visa interview. She finally managed to escape from the police monitor, and after traveling 1,250 miles, she crossed the border and entered Thailand. This was not an option for her at the beginning, but she had no choice. The journey was traumatic. She dodged Burmese military checkpoints, fended off a boater's attempt to rape her, and lost her money and her Chinese resident identity card before arriving in Chiang Mai, Thailand. Before Christmas 2011, with the help of the Finnish Police Department, the Immigration Service, and the Foreign Ministry, the Finnish Embassy in Bangkok issued a visa to my wife. We are also thankful for the Finnish Red Cross's active, multifaceted efforts to assist and help. On January 27, 2012, my wife finally arrived in Finland. Coincidentally, that day happened to be Human Rights Day in Finland. We would like to express our most sincere gratitude to the government of Finland for upholding their principles and justice and for helping my family. We will be forever grateful.
Minghui Report, 25 More Lives Lost in Persecution of Falun Gong in Second Half of 2017, bringing total for year to 42. 25 Chinese citizens lost their lives in the second half of 2017 for refusing to renounce Falun Gong, a mind-body practice being persecuted by the Chinese Communist regime. With 17 deaths reported in the first half of the year, this number brings the death toll for 2017 to 42. Due to the Chinese Communist regime's information blockade, the actual number of practitioners who have died in the persecution is likely to be much higher than what has been confirmed. A detailed list of the 17 practitioners who died in the first half of 2017 is included in an earlier report, Persecution of Falun Gong Claims 17 More Lives in First Half of 2017. 25 practitioners have been confirmed to have passed away in the second half of 2017. Seven of the deceased practitioners died in custody while serving prison terms or waiting to be indicted. The remaining 18 passed away after they were released following their latest arrests in recent years. 19 of the victims were sentenced to prison terms ranging from 1.5 to 10 years. Mr. Huang Guodong from Heilongjiang Province suffered 10 years of torture while imprisoned for his faith. He never recovered from the injuries and health problems after he was released in 2011. He died on October 31, 2017, at the age of 66. The practitioners were from 11 provinces and one centrally controlled municipality, Tianjin. Liaoning Province reported 6 deaths, followed by Anhui and Gansu with 3 each, Henan, Jilin, Shandong, and Sichuan with 2 each, and Tianjin, Hunan, Jiangsu, Heilongjiang, and Guangdong with 1 each.
Australian senator urges Xi'an mayor to release imprisoned Falun Gong practitioners. Australian Greens Senator for Victoria, Janet Rice, sent a letter to the mayor of Xi'an, China, in November, urging him to immediately and unconditionally release Yi Jia and Shan Xia Liu, two unlawfully imprisoned Falun Gong practitioners. In March 2017, Ms. Liu's mother, Yua Ha Li, and sister, Shan Xia Liu, were arrested at home. The mother was sent to a local brainwashing center and released in June. She has been spied on and harassed by the police since August. In September, on her way to visit Shan Xia Liu in the detention center, she was arrested again and jailed in a local detention center. She was released on November 8th. Shan Xia Liu is still imprisoned. Mr. Yi Jia, whose wife, Ms. Li Liu, is an Australian citizen, was arrested last September and sent to a local brainwashing center in Xi'an, Jiangxi Province. Li Liu's sister, Shan Xia Liu, has been in prison since March 22, 2017. Senator Rice said in her letter, "I am informed that they have been detained solely for exercising the right to freedom of belief and expression. Pending their release, please ensure that they have regular and unrestricted access to their family and lawyers. Please ensure that while detained, Yi Jia and Chen Xia Liu are protected from torture or other ill treatment, and that their treatment is in accordance with the UN Standard Minimum Rules for the Treatment of Prisoners, the Nelson Mandela Rules." Yi Jia was released on December 21st. Shen Xia Liu was tried on December 26th, but no adjudication was given yet. The Australian Foreign Affairs Department has been concerned about this case since Li Liu submitted a petition signed by citizens to the Parliament in June 2017. The Foreign Affairs Department replied to Ms. Liu and pointed out that the Chinese government's treatment of Falun Gong violates international human rights standards, and the Australian government often brings up the human rights crisis with the Chinese government.
South Korea. Newcomers share their feelings at Falun Gong workshop in Seoul. The Tianti Bookstore in Seoul, South Korea, holds 2 free Falun Gong workshops every month. Many newcomers have learned this ancient Chinese self-improvement cultivation practice at the workshops. Some of them simply came in to have a cup of tea or coffee at the bookstore and learned about the workshop. Others obtained flyers describing Falun Gong on the street, and some saw a group exercise demonstration and wanted to learn the exercises. Due to the warm response, the bookstore now holds 2 workshops, morning and afternoon, a total of 4 times per month. The last session in 2017 ended on December 6th. The newcomers shared their feelings after the workshop. Mr. Kai Zhang Li had injured his legs in an accident. He had been looking for a therapy and found Falun Gong. On the 5th day of the workshop, Mr. Kai had a body purifying experience. He threw up severely during the exercises, and after returning home, he threw up even more. He first thought he had food poisoning, but his wife, who had eaten the same food, had no symptoms. Falun Gong practitioners at the workshop told Mr. Kai that his symptoms were a good thing. They said, "It means that your body is being purified. It will end soon and you will feel renewed." And they were right. Mr. Kai indeed felt great after it was over. Mr. Kim Jung-yi found out about Falun Gong from a friend. The friend had diabetes for a long time and had always looked for a therapy. Mr. Kim said, Falun Gong healed him. All of his blood indexes are normal now. His experience brought me here. I listened to Master Li's lecture. Everything is great. I will continue. 70-year-old Mr. Jiang Haoyu has Parkinson's disease, diabetes, hypertension, and a back injury. All of his symptoms improved after he began practicing Falun Gong. He now no longer needs to take any medicine. Mr. Jiang smiled and said, One week after I started practicing, I felt that my diseased body was flying. I met Falun Gong practitioners on a mountain. I believe it was prearranged. I am so lucky. Many other newcomers had similar feelings and said they would continue practicing. Mr. Kim Lu Yong said, I've tried many therapies, and I feel that Falun Gong is the best. Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio Podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.